Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
After waiting for her date for 2 hours, Sarah decided finally that she had been stood up. And so in frustration, she went to her room. She changed from her dinner dress into her pajamas and slippers. She washed her face and put her hair down and plopped down on the couch to watch TV. And then suddenly the doorbell rang. And so her father went to the door, opened up the door, and there was her date. He stepped inside, looked at the couch, and saw Sarah and said, "I'm 2 hours late, and she's still not ready." No. So with that being said, I just want you to kind of, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about here today. We're going to be talking about this period of waiting, this period of anticipation. Advent is a period of expectation and anticipation and preparation. And as we spoke, the most significant event in all of human history was the birth of Jesus Christ, and as was his death, and as was his resurrection, and as will be his glorious return. And since God was faithful in keeping his promises, in sending Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, we should live in confidence of Jesus' promise to come again. And so we are called to live the here and now in a consistent and a confident expectation of his imminent return. This means something that I'm sure that we are all very, very excited about. How many of you love to wait? Anybody in this room love to wait? Yeah. It's like our favorite thing to do. We got some, you know, some pictures here of people waiting that kind of bring it all up. Waiting is kind of, nobody really likes waiting. It's one of those things that it really frustrates out. And in high school, I was in German club, and we sold these Advent calendars. And the Advent calendars, if those of you who maybe have never seen one, try to sell an Advent candle from a high school now, and you'll probably get sued. But outside of that, it was these 24 little boxes, and for each day, you'd open up the little box, and there'd be a piece of chocolate, and it was really good chocolate. And today is December 10th, and I was young. And about December 10th, all of the little doors had been opened. You're supposed to do one a day, but, you know, it's hard to wait. It's hard for us to kind of hold back. I mean, we have those of you who, you know, maybe have a streaming service. Has anybody ever binge-watched a series? Yeah. Why? Because we just want to see what's next. Just another half hour. Next thing, you spend 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12, a whole day watching a series because you can't wait. There's something inside of us, and I kind of believe it's getting worse. We are becoming worse and worse waiters as our technology continues to speed up the pace of life. You know, no one wants to understand the process and the value of waiting. And I want you to know that, guys, waiting is something that we learn. My wife tells me that I'm not the most patient person. And there's a stoplight here on the corner of Washington and Memorial. And I'm convinced that somehow the mayor has put a GPS tracker on my car or phone because it always taunts me when I get to the corner here by the Congregational Park and it'll turn green as if to say, "You feeling lucky?" And I always feel lucky. And so I approach, and I'm waiting for the person ahead, and I'm tapping my steering wheel, and I get going, and sure enough, it always catches me, and that light waits forever. And then I come early, early on Sunday mornings, and it's always flirting with me as I'm down the street. It's like, "You think you're feeling lucky, punk?" And I get there, and then it waits forever, and I'm like flashing my lights, doing anything I can to make it, and that light just makes me wait. And I didn't realize this about myself until I rode in the car with my youngest. And Blondie gets up to there and she's like, oh my gosh, the light just caught me. And she's sitting there waiting. And I'm like, why are you so impatient? I realize why she's so impatient. Pray for us. Pray for us. But I'd like to tell you that waiting is something that we learned. And waiting is different in various cultures. So we had the privilege of going to New York City a while ago, and we had a group of about 10, 11 of us, 10 when no one got left behind, 11 when someone did, and we were trying to navigate through the subway system. And if you've ever been in the New York subway system, it's a crowded, congested mess. You know, the minute that the subway shows up, you got to press and people just ram in there, and you're really fortunate. You have to kind of work your way in there. The doors open and people just immediately flood in. As they flood out, it's like making this undercurrent of a swell of people. It's kind of intimidating if you haven't done it before, but once you've done it for a while, you harden up and you realize this is how we do it. It's not like that everywhere. Look, in Japan, there are cities in Japan with higher concentrations of people. And yet it's kind of a thing that Japanese queue very well. In fact, there's a saying that says, in queuing is an art form in Japan. And so in Japan, if you go to the next slide there, Matt, this is like a subway waiting in Japan, that people wait in orderly lines. Okay, if there's a ton of people, they get in line, and they wait, and then they open up, the people exit, and then everybody comes in. Now, they cram in. They can get cram. But people are orderly when they come in, when they disembark, waiting for a meal. You may wait for a restaurant for several hours. But no matter what time it is, there are very few line jumpers and very few complainers. People don't break rank. Why? Because there's an understanding in the culture that after you have waited patiently for something, then you get what you waited for, you feel the value of it. A very ordered culture. Now, as different cultures westernize, they begin to adopt some of our maybe bad habits. Uganda. In Uganda, the primary mode of transportation is buses. And so what happens is in the morning, people go several hours before the buses begin to run, and they erect tents and they socialize. It's like a tailgate party minus the barbecue and the beverages every morning. Why? It is part of what they do. They have learned the value of social interaction. So if there are various forms of waiting and various forms of cultures, if there's differences, I have a question for us here today. It begs the question, as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians, what should be our culture of waiting? And is our culture of waiting the same as the world's culture of waiting? After all, we spoke last week that there's a type of waiting that prepares us for the coming promise, and there's a type of waiting that causes us to miss the fulfillment of the promise. This is a great topic for Advent, waiting. As a kid, it was really hard to wait for Christmas. I've told you the story before that my sister, my oldest sister is a horrible waiter, and she would wait and look at Christmas presents, and my mom would have to really intentionally put other people's names tags on her presents because she would always wait till people were gone and unwrap the presents and see what she got and then try to wrap them back up. Oh, she was excellent at it. And Gretchen, if you're watching, I love you, but you know you did it. Okay. It's pretty funny, actually. Anyway. So a couple things about waiting today. I just have three things I'd like you to think about as we try to explore the topic of what does it mean to be a Christ follower and to wait? Should we be waiting the same? What is the culture of waiting for a follower of Christ? Well, let's first look at this, and I kind of go back to Exhibit A of my behavior, waiting for the stoplight. Waiting reveals. Everybody say waiting reveals. How many of you seen this little setting? You go to a store and someone's just done with the waiting. They're done with the shopping. What waiting reveals? What does waiting reveal? Waiting is not always easy. It's something that we have to learn how to do. And it's a process that sometimes is a bit ugly. And I'd say that probably all of us in this room have gotten frustrated in waiting, in the process of waiting. There's a book by John Mark Comer called The Ruthless elimination of hurry. And if you're a busied soul, if you're tired of the rat race, if you feel like that this world just gets faster and faster and faster, I strongly recommend you reading that book. And he has some intentional strategies. We actually did a small group where we went through it, where he presented a therapeutic strategy to help challenge us in our mentality to waiting. Now, how many of you have gone to the grocery store and you're out shopping and you're done with your selections and you're ready to go through the line and you kind of look and you decide which is the fastest line? I'm like that. I like, you know, especially at grocery stores, I try to look who's got coupons in their hand, who's got, you know, the cart that looks like the stuff that's going to take a long while to weigh and those things. I'm just constantly, my wife has a gift. She has a gift. She can choose even what looks like, it may look like the shortest line, but it's always the slowest line. She has it. We joke about that, where I'm just so obsessed with just trying to get through it, and it's not a good thing. So what John Mark Comer offers, and it's a fascinating strategy, is when you go to the store, try to choose the slowest, longest line and work on waiting. How many of you would like that? We're like, no, thank you. I don't want to work on waiting. Because what does that do? That intentionally puts us into situations where we're going to have to wait so that we learn how to wait better. Maybe, just maybe, there's a purpose in waiting. How many of you appreciate that God is patient with you? How many of us would like to be around patient people? How many of us need to grow in our patience? Well, these are some very easy things for us to do. Nothing makes me more upset, and as much as I'm, you know, an impatient and trying to, you know, to wait in the roads, but when I go to a larger city and there's lots of traffic and you have multiple lanes, nothing gets me more upset quicker than somebody who drives erratically and like they're passing on the shoulder, they're passing on the left, they're like running around, they're cutting in front and they're coming and they're just tailgating people and you're having to brake, and it's like you almost cause accidents. And I love this because it almost always happens. The idiot who drives like that, who then, you know, whips off of the interstate and then you happen to be going the same thing and they get caught at a stoplight and then you pull up right next to them and you give them that smug look. How's that work for you? And the truth is, if you do the math, you don't gain that much by that behavior. So if you're that person, stop it. It really isn't worth it. Is it? Because I'm always like, is it worth causing the potential for accidents, the potential for harm, the potential for thousands of dollars of damage for 35 to 40 seconds? No. No. And so how can we, my question is this: if we are impatient followers of Jesus, how we go through life can be almost exactly like that person driving crazy. We miss opportunities to minister, we miss opportunities to be gracious, and we sure do not appreciate, we don't take time to smell the flowers. We are too busy flying through life to ever really enjoy it. I think that's what Christmas and Advent is about, is our understanding to live in the here and the now and be, as John Mark Comer calls, a non-anxious presence in this world. So what does waiting reveal? Well, the first thing is waiting reveals our trust in God. When we're waiting as Christians, it lets us ask this question: am I trusting God? And we could make it as simple as, in sitting here acting like a very impatient child, am I behaving like this kid in the grocery store? Am I throwing a fit? Now, maybe no one sees it because I'm alone in the car. Maybe no one sees it but God sees it. What does it say about our trust in God? I'd take you to the Old Testament, to Abram. Abram received a promise, and he was old in his age. His wife was past the time where they were normally bearing children, and he had this promise that he was going to have a child, and this child was going to be a blessing, and he's going to be the father of nations, and he had no child. And then there's a long process of waiting. During that process, Abram failed. His trust in God was revealed, that he didn't trust God, because he went into Hagar and they gave birth to Ishmael, and Ishmael continually was a thorn in his saddle. Waiting reveals our, not only do we trust in God, but are we faithful to God? Well, I'm faithful for a short amount of time. Are we faithful to God over the long? To have our faithfulness proven, there has to be a passage of time. And testing, my friends, is essential. Waiting reveals our level of patience, and we all can agree that patience is needed, and waiting reveals the issues of our hearts. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Let's all read this together about patience. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Now, time out. So right there, we have an understanding of what he's talking about. How we live this life, patience needs to be framed in an understanding that we are waiting for a promise that Jesus told us, that he's coming back. Okay? The fact that Jesus is coming back causes us to be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. And now he breaks it down a little farther. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be what? Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So we need to live how we walk out everything that we're doing, whether it means us being a student, whether it means us being a friend, whether it means us being an employee, whether it means us being a parent, whether it means us being a grandparent, whether it means us owning a business, whether it means that we are a customer, a consumer. Everything we do, we should be doing underneath this auspice that the Lord is coming back. I mean, does a lazy farmer bring forth a harvest as good as it can be? They have to work. There's diligence that goes on. Waiting brings out what's inside of us. I go back to that thing that I continually see in me, that frustration. I'm like, wow, that just came out of me? Yeah, it didn't just like jump in. If something comes out of you, it was in there to begin with, right? Oh, I was acting way out of my character. No, you weren't. Maybe you've just been able to hide it well. And again, is that condemnation? No, it's an understanding of the beauty that on your worst day, when you just lose it, when you have been a jerk with a capital J, Christ loves you. And he is there to abide with you in your mess. The best theology that I can understand about Advent is Jesus didn't, I mean, think about it. All of his people missed it, and yet he came. And he had foreknowledge. Think about what we just celebrated in the Lord's Supper. Hamer said he took this meal with his 12. One of them he knew was going to betray him. He knew that he was messed up. Jesus offers us fellowship. He doesn't say, get your junk together and walk with me. He says, walk with me, and then together on that pathway, we'll work these things out. How many of you love to go to the DMV? Now, granted, ours is, you know, we have a pretty good one, a smaller town. My son actually just went to get his driver's license redone in Tennessee, and I was kind of joking as I was working on a sermon about waiting, and he's like, yeah, I went to the first one, and they didn't do new licenses, so I went to the second one, and they were closed for remodeling, so I had to go all the way down to Belmont, and then I got there, and that was a huge one, and I was sitting, he was there for like 3 hours waiting just to get his license renewed, and I was like, well, how is that waiting? Let's not talk about that. It brings things out of us. Last week, we shared how Jesus said that we need to stay awake. And so what does waiting reveal? Our trust in God, our faithfulness to God, our level of patience, and waiting also reveals issues of our heart, which means priorities. You can keep your priorities for a short amount of time, but when We have to wait. When patience is needed, it begins to bring them out. Which brings us to our second point today. So waiting reveals. Everybody, once again, say waiting reveals. Second point today is time waiting is not time wasted. We have to come to that understanding because we all think that because we have to wait means that time is being wasted. I would like to offer to you this radical fact. Everybody is going to have to wait. Waiting is a part of life. A part of your purpose is you are going to have to wait. That doesn't mean that time has to be wasted. Now, time wasted, are there time? Yes, time is a precious commodity. And we are all given a finite amount of time here on this earth that God knows before we came here. Are you going to spend your time wasting it? No. Are you going to spend some time waiting? Absolutely. In fact, God intended it. A lot of us don't understand. God intended us to wait. And you can waste time when you are waiting. You don't have to, but you certainly can. Netflix is a $198.86 billion company that's based on the understanding that people are prone to waste time. I'm not saying that watching a Christmas movie is wrong, but to many, it has become a default. Watching and being passive in how we spend large amounts of time has become almost an addiction. Young folks aged 10 to 19 are the largest users of TikTok, the average being 95 minutes on average, just under 2 hours a day for teen women, teen gals. That's a lot of time. 2 hours a day is the average. That means there are certain people who blow the curve way on the other side, and then there are those who are less engaged in that. Closely followed by those who are 20 to 29. And study after study shows that social media and passive entertainment apps are impacting cognitive development and harming the ability for us to interact socially. That is a topic for another sermon, which we're not going to get into because that's low-hanging fruit. But God has given us a set amount of time. Okay? God has given us only a set amount of time. And some time will be spent waiting. Are we wasting waiting on the Lord with distractions from the Lord? As we said last week, there are 400 silent years, but those years from the end of Malachi to the arrival of Jesus were not wasted time. There were prophecies that were being fulfilled, and God's perfect timing was working out. There was technology and infrastructure that was being created to facilitate the preservation and dissemination of the gospel. Are you, here's the big one, and this is one I know we don't want to hear. Are we growing as we're waiting, or are we just trying to get through the waiting? I'd like to just say, in the waiting, there can be a purpose. You can have a purpose. Time waiting doesn't have to be time wasted. And I hate my time getting wasted. I'm not saying lock yourselves in your room and read the Bible 24 hours a day and live here at the church. I'm saying be mindful that Satan wants us to waste our lives and the time that God has given us with purposeless drivel. How's that for a sentence? Let me say that again. Be mindful that Satan wants us to waste our time and our lives with purposeless drivel. We get tired and we fall into bad habits that are, quite frankly, they keep us away from Christ. I'm just going to give myself an amen here today because you know it's true. This is not about giving you a Christian to-do list. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came so that we could have relationship with God. In other words, God is knowable, and God is knowable in the waiting. Some of that time is just inviting God into your wait. Because how many, if I ask you this question, and please just respond, how many of you wish you had more time for God? I didn't see a single hand go up. Okay. I felt you. How many of you said, boy, I would share something, but I wish I had more time to pray. I wish I had more time to pray. Well, what is waiting? Well, I can't get down on my... You don't have to get down on knees. You can, as Paul says, you can pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. Maybe you're in that long line for the annoying person in front of you. Do you know why they're annoying? No one's praying for them. Hello? You know why people act horribly? Because they have no hope and they're wounded. You hear all the time, hurt people. And what do hurt people need? They need prayer. They need Jesus. And here you are with a front row seat to observe them. And all we're worried about is getting through the checkout line quicker. You are no different in that mindset than the person who's just driving in and out of traffic. You have an opportunity. And what I'd like to tell you today is you have a mission. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 through 15 as we're getting ready to wrap up the message. The Apostle Peter is writing here, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So right off the bat, he's telling us that we have a wrestle, that God's time is not like our time. And this is why we wait. We wrestle our will to his. Verse 9, he says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In other words, in God's timing, he doesn't want anyone to perish. That God's desire in his heart is for people. So I got a question. If God's desire is for people, that includes jerks, that includes hurting people, what should your heart be towards jerks and hurting people? Love. Love. That should be our way. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord. Well, wait a minute. So now we're having the reason why we need to get active in our waiting. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. So we have a driving factor of how we should get along in this understanding that God's timing is not our timing, and God's not slow in fulfilling his promises. According to our timeline, it might match up. But we have a job. Going on to verse 11 in 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter continues to write, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. In other words, this world is temporary, so we should be waiting with purpose. Verse 13, but according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be what, gang? Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Waiting reveals times wasted. So my final point for us today is that, hey, you're going to wait. You are going to wait, but we should wait actively. Everybody say, wait actively. So in waiting actively, what does that mean? It means don't be passive. That there is an intentionality in all that we do. Even rest, even relaxation, even recreation. All of this should be done relationally with God. What I have found is we as a culture, we think that waiting is away from God. And when we think our rest, that we just get away from God and away from everything, and we rest away from God. When the understanding, one of the top 10 commandments, okay, of 10 commandments that he's setting all society, think of this. 1/10 was about remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Right up there with don't murder. Right up there with don't murder, with don't lie, with don't steal, is one that we scratch our head. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Why? Because God wants us to rest in him. He wants us to wait in him. He wants us to do life in him. And our culture is about Sunday morning is church. Maybe if you have a small group, You get your religion in small doses, and then you get back to your normally scheduled program. I would submit to you today, if that's how you view Christ, you are missing it. And I'm even going to say it a little more intense. I would think, are you having oil in your lamp? Come back to last week. So this is not about a to-do list. It's a reminder that we have relationship with Him, that we should relate to God and we have a purpose. Reminder, we have a great commission and we have a great command and we have a great commission. What is the great command? We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And what's the great commission? We're to go and make disciples. And all of these things can be done while we wait. When I was in college, I worked at a restaurant, Jumer's, in Bloomington. They had a restaurant called Le Radis Rouge, okay, the Red Radish. Great name for a restaurant, the Red Radish. And my job was as a waiter. And there were some people who took the job as waiter to meant that they sat in the back and threw French fries at one another. And then there were some people who realized that the job of a waiter is to be presence and wait and to see what people's needs were and to respond. And the people who did that got rewarded very well. The people who actually developed relationship with the people who they were called to serve, it became like family and friends. In fact, when they'd come back in, they'd ask if they knew your work and they would ask for that. Wait, oh, they know that you did a good job, that you were attentive to things. Are you being attentive to the needs of the people whom we're called to wait on? We are waiting with God in service to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Don't miss that opportunity. The first Advent was the incarnation of a knowable God. That's why Jesus was so profound. Why did He come to earth as a human being? To show us that we can walk with Him, we can talk with Him, we can have relationship with Him. In Luke chapter 2, we encounter two phenomenal people, and I'm wrapping up the message with this. I'll have you out of here just very shortly. But these are two overlooked characters in the Christmas story. It's the story of Simeon and the prophetess Anna. And please read it in your own time in Luke chapter 2. And here's what we know about them. They waited well. How did they wait well? They were looking for the word of God to be fulfilled. They were living their lives marked by righteous living, by worship, by prayer, and by thankfulness to God. And these weren't just a to-do list. They were knowing God in the waiting. May our lives be marked with that as well. Charlotte, you can come up. Waiting reveals things inside of us. Waiting is something we're all going to go through. But we can wait actively, and waiting doesn't have to be wasted time. We're in Advent. So my question is, what are you waiting for? Let's stand to our feet. Would you pray?
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.